You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Up a little catfish dinner, gonna sound like a winner when I lay you down and love you right. Yeah, that's my kind of night. Might sit down on my diamond plate, tailgate, put in my country ride, hip hop mixtape, little Conway and little T-Pain, might just make it rain. You can hang your t-shirt on the rim, hit that bank and we can be zone in. Soak us up a little moonlight, you know I know what you like, yeah. All them other boys wanna wind you up and take you downtown, but you look like the kind that likes to take it way out. Out where the cornrows grow, roll, roll my boat, floating down the Flint River. Catch yourself a little catfish dinner, gonna sound like a winner when I lay you down and love you right. Yeah, that's my kind of night. Yeah, that's my kind of night. My kind of, your kind is this kind of night. We dance in the dark.
Really driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl. And we had an opportunity after the practice today to spend some time with Coach Pettine. Let's hear from Coach Pettine now after the second OTA practice of this week.
It's a special day for us. I mean, and you can just see the type of guys that we have, that the way they responded to them, and just even organization-wide, just what we were able to put together for them this morning, Community Relations Department, I thought was outstanding. And it's nice every once in a while to hit the reset button and just kind of, it puts it in perspective, and to see a young man who's fighting a fight, how passionate he is about what we do. It's certainly, it's hard to take it for granted after when you meet a young man like Dylan.
You last week you said it was a little sloppy the first day of OTAs that we were out here. How did it? Is it getting better?
It is. It is. It's a. I just think it's a tough. I don't know if it's certainly not an even playing field given where we are defensively. You're working on base installations from an offensive standpoint, and you're working deeper details from a defensive standpoint. So it hasn't been easy, but we don't want to slow down too much defensively. But at the same time, we also have to understand each other's circumstances. I thought today was good. I thought the move the ball period was very competitive. The offense did a nice job driving at the end. But this isn't real football, so it's tough. Some of those run plays, I mean, we're not playing flag football. They might have gone for a little bit more than what they did. So I think the days are productive. I think we're doing a good job of understanding how to practice, how to be good teammates and stay up and not put each other at risk, because that's difficult to do.
Did that strike you, or is that something you would expect given the imbalance
right now? I mean, that's a good group. That's Tremon Williams just brings a wealth of experience. I mean, I think he understands what we're trying to get done. He's played in similar systems, and those guys are doing a good job. They put the time in during the meeting room. It carries over to the individual period, and then you always want to make sure that meeting and individual time translates into the teamwork, and it has. Those guys are doing a good job, and they're certainly ahead of the curve.
Mike, what are your thoughts on the incident that Johnny was involved in?
I have no thoughts. That's a non-story. It's a non-story.
These non-stories keep happening.
Is that a question?
Are you concerned that these non-stories keep happening?
No, I'm not.
Why does it become a story? Dante Winter threw a water bottle at somebody. Would Dante Winter ever throw a water bottle at somebody?
It's a hypothetical. You could insert any name. I mean, I think under the right set of circumstances, everybody standing here could get to the point where they would do something along those lines. So, again, I don't see it as a story.
Given this world we live in, though, now, Mike, would you talk to Johnny about, you don't want to deprive him of his ability to be in public or whatever, but would you talk to him about making a lower profile specifically now because of what he's gone through and he's maybe a little bit more of a target than he's ever been?
We've had a conversation. I'll keep those details private.
This is kind of what he brings, though, a lot of attention. Anything that happens becomes a quote-unquote story, whether it's a non-story or not. How do you deal with that in terms of the team and keeping it from being a distraction?
I don't see it as a distraction. I have the details of what happened, and like I said, in my mind, it's a non-story.
So I wanted to ask you about Taylor Gabriel. Do you see him lining up in the slot, the outside, both, making a lot of plays there?
He's shown the ability to do both. I think that's something that you're looking for in a wide receiver, that a guy just doesn't have a certain niche skill set that he can line up inside. But he's shown the ability to, certainly proved it last year, to be able to line up outside and play the Z or play the X. That he's very similar to Hawk, and that he's short, but he's not necessarily small. Very strong upper body, so that allows him to be able to compete outside.
Did Dwayne Bowe get tweaked out there?
He did. He went in. It was we might hold him out Thursday. I'll wait to see the results of it. It wasn't anything serious. But it's especially in the spring. Just anything, we're going to tend to err on the side of being conservative.
Did he just step down, or did he twist his
ankle? I'm not exactly sure. I think it was more the tweak, a tweak of the knee than it was an ankle. But it was. There's a chance he'll be out He'll be out here practicing Thursday. If not, I'd be surprised if he wasn't available next week.
Like, what about Maley? I think last time we talked to him. Talk to you. You thought he might sit out all spring, and he was out there doing some stuff. Is he catching it all, or is he just running?
Well, what we can do is we can kind of, and it's tough on the quarterbacks because they get frustrated sometimes. He's the number one read, and they see the red shirt, they're not allowed to throw it to him. But it's good for him. One, it helps us kind of eat up some of the repetitions, saves the legs of the other guys. His legs are fine, and then we can get him in there on some running plays, or get him in there on some plays where he's low in the progression. And that's good for him to get individual work. So it's the thumb is post-surgery is healed up enough that he can get out here and sweat and do those things. So we'll go ahead and push the limits with him.
And then Dansby and I think Malcolm Johnson, I didn't see anything going on with those guys.
Yeah, they're both – I mean, this is not mandatory, but they both arranged it ahead of time that they would not be here.
The offensive installation that you're doing right now, are these, besides the run game and the pass game, are these wholesale changes, or is there –
Yeah, it's hard to put a number on it, but I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of that. At least the pass game, the concept-wise, that we've done most of them. I think Flip has some unique things that he's putting in that just looking at from a defensive perspective are very challenging. You know, the one route that Hawkins caught in the red zone today, I thought was a nice wrinkle off of a conventional play. But there is a decent amount of carryover. There's been some just changing of the language. I like Flip system in that it makes sense. Like a lot of the words, you know, there's a common theme towards concepts that are similar. You know, all bird names mean a certain type of route combination. The formations are kind of grouped together in a logical fashion. So it's required some learning, but this is a smart group. I'm very pleased with where we are from a mental standpoint.
Mike, are there signs that Justin Gilbert's improving from last season? Obviously, it's very early to tell, or do you really see some changes?
I definitely see changes, but I think you said it. Probably too early. It's just all about consistency. Just coming in here, perfecting his craft every day, and it's right now it's so far so good. Attention to detail, just kind of getting himself into the material, and then the want to, the how serious he's taking it. Yeah, that's the with Joe giving Joe a planned day of rest that gave us an opportunity to move Cam. He'd been primarily playing inside at right guard, and John had slid over to. Greco had slid over to center, but we saw today as an opportunity anytime Joe's not in there to get Cam some work.
Mike, I don't think we talked to you since the extra point rule. Do you have an opinion on that? And then also tied in with that, the decision to get rid of Christian last week and go with one monster.
First of all, the rule, I mean, I think we've all seen it coming. I don't necessarily see it as a disadvantage in cold weather just because you'd like to think that we'll be used to it, and you bring in a warm weather kicker, you know, a California kicker, a guy that's used to kicking in a dome, that the likelihood of them missing might be a little bit higher. You know, we're used to our stadium, that type of thing. So I don't know how much it'll change. I think everybody's kind of curious to see exactly how many coaches will. There was a lot of talk at the owners' meetings of also moving the 2-point line, maybe it was just inside the two, maybe it was the 1.5, maybe it was the 1. Those got at least kicked around. That might come in the future, but kind of leaving it where it is, I think we'll start out the year. I think you'll see a lot of teams still kicking it.
But does that add? I mean, you make a ton of decisions every game. Does that just add one more stress level to? Do I go for 2 or do I go for 1?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly opens it up. And since this is Cleveland and you have the and being in the AFC North and you have the potential for some bad weather games or some wind, you might get some choices late in games where if the kickers aren't doing well, that you might that could potentially force a decision to, hey, let's go ahead and go for 2.
Now that you've had a chance to see Duke Johnson running your plays, what do you think so far?
Certainly showed it today, some of the explosiveness of his ability to put his foot in the ground and go. There was one of the runs in the team period that, unless we were playing flag football, that would have been about a 40 or 50 yard chunk. But he's got a lot to learn, but you know, he's probably typical rookie where he is right now. But I think we've all seen what he can bring, the explosiveness and how we can turn a handoff or a short pass into a significant game with a back like that.
On him from the standpoint, West and Crowell were in his position last year. Is he farther ahead than they were just because of his recent college background?
Yeah, I don't know if that's probably a hard question to answer. I mean, he's about where we would expect him to be, and it's what we do like is the rules with the rookies at this point where we get him for more time than we do the veteran players. That's very helpful for him. And then if you remember last year, Crowell was injured in the spring. He did not get very many reps, so he ended up kind of going into training camp, almost an afterthought. He was behind. We didn't really know what we had with him. And then he showed up late in training camp. So Duke does have an advantage there, whereas he'll be able to get a lot more repetitions in the spring.